Hello and welcome to a special edition of Shore Talk, where we go to the London Boat Show in the company of Yachting World technical editor Matt Sheehan and test editor Toby Hodges. Oh, and we have a special mystery guest. And I can't tell you more than that, other than his surname is Ainsley and his first name is Ben. Well, say no more. But first, Matt and I sat down after we'd had a chance to take in a very refreshing first impression of the new layout for the event.
If you thought you knew what the XL Boat Show was like, well, I think you're going to need to think again, because they've had a massive change around. Not only do you come in from the opposite end, big deal you may say, but you come into a completely different view. It's superb. It's very, very well done indeed. The first thing you see as you come in is a great big pool, loads of activities going on. There's just in the background now, as we're just talking here, there's someone on a surfing carpet. They call it brush boarding. But he's there, he's doing a very good job actually. He's staying up. It's basically like a rolling carpet and of brushes, and you can surf on it. It's shaped a bit like the face of a wave, and you can surf backwards and forwards. And it looks quite tricky, but he's making a good fist of it.
I think we might leave that to the younger listeners.
Yeah, I don't think my insurance actually covers me for that. But interestingly, behind that, we've got a great big display of dinghies and some of the modern dinghies, RS, I see her over there, Topper over there. Then you've got the traditional Wayfarers. It's a really exciting presentation, and it really sort of gets you in the mood from the minute you walk down.
I think that's what's been missing, is the kind of interactive feeling that it was actually something to do with water rather than just a trade fair, and they seem to have got that element involved this time.
That's absolutely right, Guy. That's exactly what the difference is this time. And it's amazing what a difference it makes. I mean, we've just done a bit of a trawl today looking around at who's here. And actually, there's still a lot of the familiar names that you would have seen. But it's amazing what a difference it makes if it's laid out differently. The other thing that's impressive is that as you come in and you've got the pool on the right, and then on the left, you've got an area of boats, sailing boats, motor boats. They've actually opened up the floor here, so now it's sort of double the height inside the building, which gives you a much better perspective of the boats. You come in sort of over the top of the boats and look down, and again, it's a very exciting outlook. It's great. I think it's done a really good job.
Well, let's go and look at things in a little more detail, shall we? Right, well, we find ourselves in a strange corner of the XL conference arena here, but rather an interesting sight. And Matthew, I don't think it's too far to say that you decided you may have seen the future when you looked in the corner of this the hall.
I think I have, yes. I mean, I think it is the future in the corner, and maybe it's somewhat ironic that it's tucked away in the corner, but it's well worth a look. What are we talking about? We're talking about Invictus, which is a C-class cat. It's a C-class cat that was built for the Little America's Cup that took place last year in Newport. But what makes it particularly special is that it's got a solid wing, and of course solid wings is what everybody's talking about now with the America's Cup now going to solid wings. Everybody wants to know something about these new configurations, and I have to say it's the first time I've ever seen a C-class cat, and it's the first time I've ever seen a solid wing on one, and it's pretty impressive. It's well worth a look.
Well, we'll come back to Matt, but we can now have a very quick word with someone who actually has not only seen it, he's sailed it as well, Gordon Kaiser. And Gordon, welcome to the podcast. And, well, now everyone is looking at fixed wings. What are they like to sail?
They're actually no different, really, than a normal boat to sail. The saying is that it's easy to sail them, but it's difficult to sail them well. The hardest point in actually learning how to sail this boat was actually realising there isn't a floppy sail there to tell you that you're too close to the wind, and that you have to now look at other bits and arrows and telltales and so on and so forth. So it's not that hard to sail it, but as I say, it is hard to sail well.
Now, given what's happening in America's Cup, yeah, for instance, and the fact that you were at the Little America's Cup, have you noticed a bit more interest in the class at the moment?
There was quite a considerable amount of interest at the actual Little America's Cup. We were talking, a lot of the big names had come across to have a look. We had the week leading up to the actual event, and then we had the event itself. So in the week up, there was a lot of walking and talking between different people coming up, and everyone having a look at each other's wing, and actually all the teams were very open in discussing what they've actually done with their wings, how their wing's different than your wing, and so on and so forth. So there was a lot of interest there, and we've had a few conversations offline afterwards with certain people, and we've been talking to other people today, and so there's a bit of lingering around, shall we say.
How does it feel to have been perhaps one of the earlier crew members on something like this before it got so popular?
Very cool. Very stressful, but very cool. This boat required a lot of hard work putting into it, and the glory seen with this kind of sailing, even in the low, well, I shouldn't say low, but the Little America's Cup, there's a lot of hard work that goes back to it. So at the end of it, it was definitely worth it. It was great to be part of it. I mean, seriously exciting. I mean, even we're tucked away, as you said at the start of the interview, there in a corner, but we've already have loads of people coming down to see us and have a chat, so it's certainly a cool thing to be part of.
Yeah. Final thought, what does 2011 hold?
Oh, new stuff. it holds a year of part reflection, part moving on, looking at the new concepts, looking what is the next design phase for this team, and also getting the word out about wing sails, getting the word out about Invictus in the UK, and getting more water time in racing. So we don't know yet.
I think that's always the best thing to do with a new year, is don't know yet. Well, thanks so much then to Gordon. And we'll certainly be looking to catch up as the year goes on and find out how everyone's got on at Invictus. But, Matthew, you've now been sort of just sitting gently mulling over the boat for a while.
Well, I have, and there's an awful lot to look at on it. I mean, what's interesting is if you look up at this huge, great big wing that almost gets to the top of the XL building, if you ignore the hulls, it's a bit like looking at an aeroplane on its side. I mean, it looks like a great big aeroplane wing, and, of course, it is. And you look at it and think, well, there's probably a lot of power in that. But you think, it's also an incredibly difficult thing to handle, not so much when you're sailing. I'm just beginning to wonder how on earth you handle it, getting it up and down. It's not like hoisting a mainsail and rolling it up and putting it in the bag at the end of the day. I mean, what do you do with it?
Gordon?
Well, basically, it's a case of it's assembled sitting on its leading edge, and you slot the top part onto the main front bottom part. And then the two flaps go on top of that. So the bottom flap on first and the top flap on afterwards. So it all basically slides and connects together. And then we use a metal A-frame that is attached to the front beams and rotates around the front beams. And basically the metal frame goes vertical, and you pull back in the metal frame on the shrouds, on the backstays, and up it comes and you connect them on. It's more easy than it looks, but the minute you start putting the frame on and start raising it, nobody's smiling. All laughs are out the door, and it's like, focus. So yeah, that's it.
How long does it take to rig it?
It varies on how many cups of tea and how much talking we're doing. But on the whole, the quickest we've got it out, not having the platform already rigged, so to put the wing together from scratch, was about 25 minutes to get it up. So still amount of time, but bear in mind, the way we've transported the wing in the past, or the boat in the past, it is a rather long process of putting the tramp on, putting the hulls together, so on and so forth. So it takes time, maybe an hour and a half.
And you've obviously had a lot of experience with this, and do you think that this could be the future? I mean, do you think that in 10 or 15 years' time, or maybe less, maybe more, we'll be looking at this, looking at wings, thinking, why are we ever worried about them?
I think there's yes and no. Yes in the fact that it's the future, it's fast, it's different, it's an emerging technology. Yes, sail technology is still coming along, but there is a whole new element in this. No, though, maybe perhaps to the maintenance side of things. If you can make these things in a maintenance-free for your average sailor just to go sailing, who wants to just go racing on the weekend, brilliant. But at the moment, this isn't something that you can just go racing on the weekend without a team of maybe dedicated three or four people to help you put it together. So it's a part yes, part no kind of answer to that question.
We've got to have a go, Guy. We've got to have a go.
Well, we've managed to tear Matt away from the Invictus stand and the wing sail, and well, We're here at an M34. Interesting history to this boat, or interesting where it is in its history.
Yeah, the M34 is a full-on race boat. It's you take a look at it, it's a flat, open cockpit, tiller steered, Grand Prix looking, fixed bow sprits, all that is modern Grand Prix racing nowadays. But this is a very interesting boat because it was designed and commissioned specifically for the Tour de France à la Voile. Very, very popular race. Many people will know it. Up until just recently, it was in the MUM 30. But this is a new commission designed, as I say, by Joubert Nivelle. It's a very interesting boat because it's designed for offshore racing, but also around the Cairns racing. It's an interesting mix. It's got some very interesting little features, not least of all the fact it's got a lifting keel. So it's a very deep draft boat with a fin and bulb keel. One of the problems when you're racing, especially around France, but also lots of other areas, is that high-performance boats now demand much bigger drafts or deeper drafts, and you can't actually get them into the harbours in France, especially if they're over 2.5 metres. So this boat has got I can't remember the exact draft, but it's something like 2.6, 2.7 metres. You lift it up to 1.8 so that you can actually get into the harbours and move this around. That's very important for the Tour de France à la Voile, but I think it's got a future as well in Grand Prix racing because draft is one of the issues that designers are having to face. So it's a very interesting boat. It's well worth a look. And I have to say, it's great to see a Grand Prix race boat back at the London show.
Yes, it is surrounded by perhaps what we could describe as non-Grand Prix racing boats, but still very fine in their way. But we're off to Jay's next. We are alongside the J111, a new addition to the J dynasty, if you like, and one that's caught your eye a little bit, Matthew.
It certainly has. I mean, most people will be familiar with what a J boat looks like and what they stand for generally, which is usually asymmetric spinnakers, retractable bowsprits, and a very, very distinctive look. This one's very different. J have seen a new gap in the market emerging with owners and crews who have been racing very successfully in production cruiser races, and they've been sailing together, let's say, you know, 3-4 years, whatever it is, and over that time they've got better and better, and their aspirations have gone up. They're now looking for the next step, and actually when you look at the sort of around the sort of 30 to 40 foot market, when you come out of a production boat, there isn't really anything to go for, or there hasn't been until recently, especially if you want something that's a bit more Grand Prix and you've decided that racing is what you really want to do and you've got a good solid team. So Jay have recognised that, and they've come out with this J111, which in many ways looks like the rest of the family, but when you get to sail it, it's not like that at all. It's actually a really quite a lively boat. Now, we were fortunate enough to be the first to sail this boat in the UK just before Christmas, in some interesting conditions, fair bit of breeze, and I can confirm it's a lively, exciting boat, but it's not completely out of, you know, it's not a pro boat. So I think this is definitely one to look out for. There's a few others in the same kind of league, but this is an area that I think is going to develop, and I think the J is going to be very successful.
Well, we're now in Matt Sheehan's favourite part of the boat show. He always goes and looks at the big, extravagant, wonderful racing boats. We always find ourselves in Dinghy Alley, and you must excuse us the noise in the background. Is this wonderful pool that's been introduced this time, and there's some battling canoeing going on behind us. But Matthew, this is almost where the heart is, isn't it, this part of the show?
I think it is, and you know I'm biased, but I do, as you say, I do always gravitate back to this area of the show. It's great to see that dinghies have still got a strong representation at a boat show, and well, we're here at the moment on the RS stand. They've got some very exciting boats here. No new launches this year, but I guess the star of the show for them will actually be a boat that they revealed for the first time last year. It's the RS 100. It's a single-handed dinghy, but with a difference. It's got an asymmetric spinnaker and a retracting spinnaker pole, and it's proving to be very popular, not just in this country, but actually over in the States. It's just won an award over there. I think this is another one to keep an eye on. I've got a feeling that this could change the game in dinghy racing over the next few years.
Watch this space. Well, by this stage, Matt and I had understandably got rather bored of each other's company, and there were competing interview opportunities that may or may not have involved alcohol. So I sat down with test editor Toby Hodges. Well, Toby, here we are at London Boat Show, and the test editor of Yachting World. Seen much you want to test here so far? Or?
Yes, I have. Press day isn't what it used to be because you get an endless stream of products to go and see as well. But I did get an hour or two this morning to have a look around some of the production boats here. It's not packed with production boats, but there is a nice stand here that you can have a walk around. It's really good visually for people to walk around the boats this year. They've sunken an area so that you can easily get on and actually see the boats from above as well. And that's working really well. But also for the bigger production manufacturers, they've been able to link in their powerboats and sailboats together. So it's and all of the boats are in one hall, and all the gear and equipment is in another hall. So to actually get round as a punter, it's very easy to do.
I have to say, we were impressed as well with the things that have been laid on. And you're right, the split levels now, so you can actually see every part of the boat. Hugely impressive. Now, are there any boats in particular you would recommend people to come and have a look at when they do come along?
I think I'm a fan of the Beneteau's Sense range. I think it's a real Marmite sort of boat. Divides opinion. It's a very hard-chined, beamy, modern-looking boat, and I suggest they've got the 50 and the new brand new 43. It's the first one they've done, and it's here. And I thoroughly advise people, whether they're in the market or not, to come and have a look at a boat like that, because it sort of forces you to think again about what a modern cruising boat is, and it basically makes living aboard a boat very, very simple. It's very easy to transgress from living accommodation out to the open cockpit and if you were going to, into the sea as well. So it's a great Mediterranean-type boat. But it's always nice to be able to see something for the first time as a sort of debut in the UK especially. I mean, it did its world debut at Paris, but it's nice to see it here for the first time. And Group Beneteau, I know I'm sort of plugging them a bit here, but they've really been pushing the innovation barriers a bit, and they've got, through their Geno arm, they've got a Sun Odyssey 409 and 439 here. Both of those are thoroughly worth a look as well. They're not as sort of, I'd say, as brash in your face as the Sense is, but they're a nice looking sailing boat, and The devil is in the detail. There's a lot of really nice details in there. They've really thought about these boats, and from what I've heard, I haven't got out on the water yet. It's very, very new boats, but they do sail very well as well, which is a nice way to back them up. What I quite like about here, there might not be hundreds of boats here, but it's a really nice mix. So you've got those voluminous production cruisers here, backed up with Dufour. I've got a 375, brand new 375 here. There's a new Hansa 355. As well as having these modern production cruisers, there's a couple of beauties here as well. And in a racer cruiser line, the J111 is... We had the fortune of being the first ones to test that in December, and that is an absolute rocket. It's a beautiful boat to look at. I think everyone will be able to appreciate the lines of it, and it's a really, really spicy racer cruiser, and I think that's worth coming to alone for, to have a look at that. And if you're the nostalgic type, pretty much opposite it, there's a Mystery 35 which Cornish Crabbers build, and Stephen Jones design. It's been around for quite a while, but going from something like a Beneteau Sense onto something like that is a world of difference, and you suddenly think, this is what I grew up on, this is the sort of boat I like to look at on the inside as well. And they've got plans for a 43 they're building there, another Stephen Jones design, which looks absolutely fabulous.
Now, these are the ones obviously you're really pumped up about, but have you seen anything just sort of slightly different, slightly edgy, something that made you going, oh, hello?
Yeah, I have just come off what's called a Hammerhead 35, which is the first boat in what Philip Gower, Gower Yachts, is hoping will be a production, semi-production line. And it's an epoxy foam sandwich, very hard-chined, canting-keeled, what they're terming a luxury cruiser. luxury performance cruiser is the right terminology, I think. So his wife likes the interior, which is oak-soled, and it's actually very nicely done, but he's a racing man by heart. And so, yeah, it's visually very, very striking. It's got quite a big coach roof to fit this interior in, but then it's sort of stripped on the outside, yet you get this luxury interior. So that is that's drawing a lot of people onto their standard bar.
Well, with Ben Ainslie at the London Boat Show, delighted to say, after extraordinary times recently in winds and in Down Under, which we'll talk about in a minute, but we're here at the Henry Lloyd stand, where they've announced that they're returning to the sponsor of the Scandia Team GBR youth team, or the Volvo youth team. I'll get the right sponsor in the real thing. What does you obviously came up through that system, Ben. How important is that news?
Well, it's obviously fantastic that Henry Lloyd are back involved sponsoring the youth team. I mean, they were sponsoring the team when I was involved 15, 20 years ago. And obviously a great, very strong brand in sailing globally. And along with Volvo, I think you got two fantastic supporters there of something which, you know, since Jim started it, 33 years ago, has been really the leading light in youth sailing globally. And, it's great for our younger generations to have that support, that program to come through. And, it's important. We've obviously had success in the Olympics the last three or four Olympic cycles, but it's obviously huge to have the youngsters coming through for the future generations.
Now, obviously, you've moved on a little since those youth days so long ago. An interesting year for you one way or another, 2010. Finished very well, but a few ups and downs on the way, I guess.
Yeah, it was obviously a very frustrating year with Team Origin pulling out of the America's Cup. A few of us have put a lot of effort into it over the last two or three years, so a very disappointing situation that unfolded with the move of the America's Cup. But, we made the most of a very difficult year, and it was great to end off with Team Origin with winning the World Match Racing Championships, and then for me personally getting back into the Finn, and I ended up with a win at the final Olympic classes together in Melbourne. So good end to the year, but obviously this new one, very important year coming up.
Okay, well, we'll have more of that interview with Ben Ainslie in the next edition of Shore Talk. But for the time being, that concludes our look at the 2011 London Boat Show. Go along, it's well worth a look.